Turner. This Saturday morning, Saturday at lunch with Rick. This 14th of October, 72. Channel 1 Oven, beginning the visit with John Turner with Rick. This Saturday at lunch, the 14th of October, 72.
Morning, John.
A little cooler in here, I believe.
Have a seat here. Got some chicken stew for you that
you
can chew.
Yes, ma'am.
Ground out there is...
Thank you, John. Thank you.
Ground out there is drier than I
thought. Sure, you know that's some hard ground? That's some hard dirt out there.
How long you reckon it's been since it?
I don't know, but maybe it ain't been broken some time. Don't look like it do it.
What do you mean sometime?
About 5 or 6 years.
Well, I've been here since 61.
It ain't been broke since then? Good wonder it's packed. It have a right to pack, don't it?
Yeah.
You know what you do.
And your coffee, you...
Yes, ma'am.
Listen. Yes,
sugar,
John.
It'll just pop that plow out of the ground.
Every now and again, it'll kick that plow clean up. It's going to let it stay. It'll pick it right up out of the ground.
Yeah, well, now that's what you're up against.
Yes, sir.
Slows you down.
Yes, you're right. You have to back up and catch it again. If you don't, you leave a bad spot.
Good thing is two out here.
Sure right. Now, I made 3 or 4 rounds, he makes 3 or 4, and then we just keep it going. Do pretty good.
Yeah.
But that thing, like you say, you have to just hold that. There's something wrong with that, ain't it?
Something wrong with it.
Really?
You know what I done? I paid him $370. And that's what I get.
My. Goodness, that's a heap of money.
That's a heap of money.
There's a colored filler down there where I was waking, picking peanuts. Rattlesnake from the top of that door reached down to the floor.
Yeah.
And he was coiled up just a rattling. We went to kill him. We was going to kill the snake. Yeah. Don't kill that snake, a little dark skinned colored filler. Don't you hit him. Don't hit that snake. And we wouldn't hit him. So he comes up there and he took his foot. He done like this, yeah. And reached right down there and picked him up.
And sold him.
Now, I don't know where. He put him in a bean crate. And then put a peanut vine over down in the crate. Set his lunch in there and a bottle of wine. Told the snake, if you drink my wine, you better put some more in there before I come back. And the rattlesnake was rattling all day in that crate. And he didn't pick in peanuts. I said, man, not me. They said, if you bite him, he ain't done nothing. Said, he put none bit him. I don't know what kind of man that is.
I wonder.
He come from across the water.
Oh.
We walk right up there and take his foot and pull it up there and reach right down and pick him up.
Right here in the regular season. Now in the winter time, it'd be a different thing.
That's right. Snake was a rattling and he walked right up there and picked him right up.
Put his foot on him.
No, he didn't put his foot on him. Just helped his foot up there and make the snake look at his foot. And then he reached right down by his foot and picked him up. Hold him right back of that neck, right back.
Well, that's the way he done it.
Mm-hmm. Not me. You know how much one 6 foot of them worth, don't you? Was $350, the raw selling.
Oh, really?
A 6 foot one.
And that's a 6 foot one.
He ought to be reached from the top of that door down to the floor. That's about 6 feet.
That door as high as I am, I'm 6 foot.
Yeah, he's about that 6 foot too, because he reached from that floor up to that door, you know, because he held him up like that and he's still on the ground.
Held him as high as he could hold him.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and still rattling.
Yeah, still wriggling his tail and trying to wrap around him, but he cut him down the lower and pull him back down. God by me.
Well, he could have give you a lesson.
I ain't gonna catch him. And give all the lesson he want. I ain't put my hand on there. My wife like never went out when she seen that out in that field.
Oh, she seen it too?
Oh, man, she run, got in the car, and she couldn't get out the car no more. She got home, she said, look like I seen him now.
She seen him all night, I guess.
Yeah. She was talking about him last night, and that was ever since Thursday. She don't want to see nowhere else, Nick.
And that was just over there by you?
Over to, you know where Cozy Corner, know the store?
Yeah.
You turn off that graded road and go up here near that peanut patch on the right.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's out there in the peanut patch.
Yeah. We met through some little bushes, you know, little patch around a tree. As soon as we picked by that, he eased out and was going to a lady picket, sitting down picking apart. She said, yeah, what a rattlesnake.
Headed right towards her.
Headed right towards her, going out from the neck, where we done picked the peanuts.
I didn't know you'd catch him out there, find him out there in a peanut patch.
Yes, sir, they ain't that place.
Well, what draws him to that, John?
I reckon he could punt his man home.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, a whole lot of pile of old car tires was up in that next place. I reckon that's where he was trying to make it, the old car tires.
Oh, I see. He's just going across there?
Yeah. He was trying to make it to that place for his winter home.
Well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember one time we were doing some spring plowing, and we got on to one of those fellas that he was out, but he was still sluggish.
Yeah, sir.
And they run over him with this big tractor.
Oh,
and
my.
You know, his rib case looked like it was that big.
You were right.
Looked like an animal or something.
One lady told him to kill that snake and lay her skin, and she wanted the meat, the best meat you ever eat. I told her, I don't want none. Yeah, I said, eat it. Yeah, that's the highest dish you could buy.
Yeah.
She eat that?
She said to eat it, says it's good, but I don't want none. Rather if I know it.
Well, who was it, John?
She lived the stalks.
I mean, who was it caught him?
Joe. Rattlesnake Joe, they called him. That's what they called him. He's still with it already.
Oh, Reddick?
Yeah, Rattlesnake Joe, they called him. Yeah, he's still with the Reddicks.
Well, he done that before then.
They've been doing it all the days, yeah. And one bite him, so he just took his knife and jig right around and suck it out and spit it on the ground, going about his business.
Well, those things will kill you.
Yeah, well, he didn't kill him. Really, I ain't joking. If you find one knife and keep him fall up till he gets you, he'll show you what to do. You go right and pick him up.
Yeah, it won't make no big bones about it.
That's right. If you bite him, he ain't done nothing. I sure don't want nothing biting me. I don't want any little black snake to bite me.
They don't bite, do they?
And scratch it. Scratch by like a bra.
Oh, do they? They will bite at you.
Well, you don't do them but scratch like a bra, though.
All of them I ever seen go so fast.
In certain time of the year, though, he'll make you go.
Oh, really? A black snake?
That's right.
Oh, I see.
That's in the spring of the year. You make you go.
I see.
Yes, sir.
He lets you do the running.
That's right.
Well, that's funny. You know, I never did run into one of them that seemed to want to fight me.
You never hear him shake his tail?
No.
He shake his tail, go just like a rattlesnake now. In the leaves and things.
Oh, yeah.
A black snake will.
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
I caught a coach whip one day. A long coach whip.
Yeah.
That thing wrapped around me and I couldn't hardly get him loose from around me. You know, just wrapped around me.
Yeah. All around
him? I couldn't hardly get him loose. I had to hold his head and let the other fellas came round and round to get him from the wrap around me. And you know he's strong? He's a strong one.
Now they rattle.
Yes, yes.
They'll cut up. They'll make you think you're going to get it.
You ain't joking.
But they don't even scratch you, I don't reckon.
I don't see you doing nothing but... They say you'll whip you, but I don't reckon you'll whip you. I ain't never seen them whip nobody, you.
No, I never seen it. I
just heard him talk like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We used to, I used to have a few out here in the stump.
Yeah.
And, oh, you know, we got so many of these rodents like possums and armadillos and coons and all. I think they run them off.
Sure, right.
Eat them or something.
You know, that's why what happened. You got any king snakes out here?
No.
They'll run all the rough snakes off your place.
Oh, will they?
A king snake, yeah. They'll put you in jail if you kill one of them and they know it.
I'd tell you to have one or two of them around with her.
You sure will. A black snake good. You don't do nothing.
Did they?
If he gets here, a rattlesnake, while the rattlesnake up there, he'll run right across and make him bite himself, see? That's what a black snake will do. I've seen him do it.
Make a rattlesnake bite himself?
Bite his own self and that'll kill him. See, he poisoned himself.
See,
you seen that, done?
I've seen it, done. And the people told me a rabbit won't fight for his little one. You ever heard that? Hmm? You ever heard that?
No.
Don't let nobody tell you a rabbit won't fight for his little one. I seen a coach people had a little rabbit one day out in my oak field. And I heard him, yeah, and I went up there, the big rabbit just running right across the coach field. Run right back across him. After a while, they turned the little rabbit loose, and then they went running. And that snake right behind him, his head, old coach field. She sure fight for her little one. She sure will.
No, sir, I never heard of that.
That's the first time I seen that. I seen that out in my own eyes.
You actually seen it?
Right in my own eyes, right in my okra field. I told my wife, I said, they tell me a rabbit won't fight for a little one, but he sure will.
Well, sir, I learned something, John. That's, I didn't know that.
He sure will.
I sure didn't. I didn't think a rabbit would fight about anything.
He sure will.
All I ever seen him do is just light out.
That sure wouldn't lighten out. I got out there on your tractor this morning. I went flying some old oak bushes, even some bushes, you know. And I said, I planted some greens in here under the shade. That was in the summertime. So I had a little farm old tractor. And I run up to a rattlesnake and I clay stood up about half tall as I am. Looked like he was going to get up on the tractor with me. Oh, I was afraid to get off the tractor.
I would too.
So I took a wrench and chunked it and hit him right side the head and down his head. Man. I got him stick in and I waked him.
You mean you hit him the first thing?
Yes, sir. I didn't miss that in that time. Came home, my wife said, came right back in there with you where you got him. Don't bring him up here.
Dead or alive. She don't want much to do with him either.
No, sir.
She don't like to eat that.
No.
Well, that's somebody else going to eat it?
Lady the Stark. Stark, Florida.
What do you do out to Stark so much, sir? You just know people out there?
The people come down to pick peanuts out there. I'm talking about the Riddick. Right off and cool the corner. Come all the way from Stark every morning, go back every evening. Ride a van.
Is this peanut picking time right now?
Yes, ma'am. They're picking every day, but they didn't pick yesterday. It was off yesterday to rest.
What's the matter yesterday?
The market about crowded out, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to pick no more not till Monday.
Well.
Paid $2 a crate to pick them. I go out there and chill in the evening sometime, but I don't hardly like to pick them.
Take you a long time to pick a crate?
No. I pick a crate about time, let me see now, about how I time myself, about 25 minutes.
Whole crate?
Mm-hmm, a whole crate of peanuts. Like these on them bushes, you can just catch them by the handful like that and throw them in your crate. So you shake the bush and they hang down.
Uh-huh.
Just taking by the hands when it's on the tree.
Do you just take them right off that bush?
I got a faster wind than that, though. Get them and when you pull them up, shake the sand out of them, hit them inside your crate, and get the sand out of it. Hit it right on the edge of that crate, and every one of them will go right in that crate. You ain't never seen that, have you?
No.
I'll pick some.
Well, now, you can't go along and just pull them out of the ground.
That's what you got to do. You have to pull them out of the ground and go right down your road with the crate. Then you pull it.
I heard you turn a little row in there.
No. No, don't. You got to pull them up. You got to pull them yourself. Got a man hired to wash them, give him 25 cents a bushel.
Wash them?
Yeah, to wash them.
They got right smart in them peanuts. Time they get them out then, aren't they?
You sure will. Best time to have peanuts do it the early part of the spring. You get your $12 a crate. $12 a bushel. But long in that time, you had a pit of people around. 2.5 to pick them.
And that fellow to wash them too?
Mm-hmm. You'll have about $8 in the clear. No, you won't be in the clear, but you'll have $8 after they get through with you. Then you take out for your tractor, your labor. You take out that, you're getting about $5 a crate. It ain't enough.
Yeah.
So I say it would be better to raise allotment peanuts.
That's what most of them do, ain't it?
That's cookies.
Another thing.
Have some more coffee?
No, I'm a thing. I got a plenty, thank you. Get me some water and I'll be ready to wake again. I'm going to have to wake till about 3 o'clock.
All
right. And then I might have to go and pick up some groceries.
Oh, yeah.
You know the day is grocery day.
Well, where do you pick up the groceries?
Ocala.
All the way to Ocala?
Yes, yeah, sir. Go to... they buy a Gibson store there.
Yeah.
What is it? What's the name of that? Cash and Carry? Yes, that's Cash and Carry.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. My wife go there and pick up. I let her get all the groceries and I sit down and rest then. And I'll be done with it.
Well, what have you got to eat over there now? Do you have to buy everything?
Practically everything, no. See, my wife, I say, I leave the house this morning. I intend to bring you all some peas.
Oh, John.
Really? Some black-eyed peas. I got up and leave them this morning. I reckon they'll give them to somebody else to do something. No, I don't leave them to the house. I had them fishing to bring you some, a few. I sure did.
Well, I appreciate that thought.
But
well, they won't keep.
No, you won't hardly keep them.
They won't keep over there.
I better get them. My daughter going back to pick, I reckon, her day next week again, so.
Yeah.
I picked cucumbers right over there on Wednesday. Right back of that parade going to Micanopy.
Yeah.
Who them cukes belong to?
I don't know.
You go down this graded road and go for that, run around that lake.
Yeah.
I picked 31 buckets.
Yeah.
You get around, John.
Then I wake Thursday and Friday to stalks. Up in the other stalks between Hawthorne and Valetia.
Yeah.
Back in there, Johnson Station. You know where Johnson Station?
Yeah.
They go in a little place and go up in between two ponds. There's a grove back in there. I diss that grove two ways. It's a 10-acre grove.
Yeah.
In a day and a piece. Didn't take 2 days. Then I drug limbs out to banister the day.
Well. But that grove tractor works pretty good.
That's
that grove
hair. It's a heavy one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a heavy one. And that tractor, you got a little heavier tractor than yours.
Yeah, this is a light tractor.
Yeah.
They don't have them this light anymore.
But you know what you got on it? It's power steering, got a power seat, and everything. That seat, that you can't tell you when you hit a bump. It's a massive Ferguson.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And I sure think that I got my belly full. I'm ready to go back to work. You know.
Well, let me tell you, Don. Now, what are we going to do next?
Ain't you got that? You got a tattle hair?
Yeah.
That could have either run up on there after you get through it like that one. That could have been out there.
Yes.
Well, that's what you got to try to trim it down. You know them big lumps.
Sure.
And then you throw your oats and then are you a rye or whatever you're going to throw, and then you can get a plant and do that one of them things and do that. You got one?
Yeah.
Cedar. All you got to do is just drive along with it then. And your stuff ready. If you got a plant, one of them cedars.
Well, after you put your seed out, you still got to cut them in, little Angie.
Let me see now. You could, you can put that seed out and you couldn't put it out before you label that though, so. Then you put your seed out and then you run your cutaway over it lightly and put it in. That's what you have.
That'd be the best.
Yeah. Because if you put it there now, all your seed would go down on that big turf.
That's right.
And then you wouldn't get much of a good out of them.
Yeah.
But you got to level, get that down the way it'll be broke down level now.
Yeah.
From all them lumps and turf.
Yeah.
I told him just now to go get the Ford and get behind me and go to chain them turfers up.
That's right. Yeah. The Ford will do that.
You're right.
Yes, sir. The Ford will do it.
I told him, when we get over, we'll be through that. What I told him just now. Well, he go ahead on and break it. I'll lay him. It doesn't make no difference.
Yeah.
And yet that, you get it done like that, you got it made, then you can go ahead on and run your cedar.
Yeah.
And then dish it over lightly again,
dish
and you got it.
Lightly again. Yeah.
Well, that sounds good.
That's right. Now these, you see, when they do that, custom people,
mm-hmm.
when they do that with that big hair,
yeah.
you see, it's right ready to plant.
That's
right behind them.
That's right. That's right.
So they can do it all at one. At
that's
one,
right.
One,
but
one
to be that plow rolling them big turbos up now, you got to try to shake them loose with something.
Yeah.
Knowing it'll cover up your seed, and you won't see that seed. It'll be too far down on them.
Be too far down there.
Mm.
Go up under that big turf, it'd never come off none of that.
It sure wouldn't.
Yeah. Need some rain, too. We'll get it, I reckon. Get a rain and a freeze. My boy say it's freezing the way he is. Say ice and snow.
Yeah.
Need up there, two of them in New York, picking apples.
Yeah. You like rye or oats? For cows.
I tell you what I like. I really like oats. I really like oats. Rye, all right, but I really like oats.
Cows like them.
Yeah, so if you get that oats to go in pretty good, and then don't care how cold it gets put in prettier.
Yeah.
But that rye the same way, but it's something they used to plant that coal off. Oh, what's the name of that? There's one kind of it that ain't no good for cows, and one kind of it good. Mr. Brown Ray used to plant it. Oh, I forgot the name of it. Mm-hmm. It ain't rye, and it ain't... It's something else. Oh, my, I can't think of it now. But it grows sort of a bush like, looks like an ice potato now. Looks sort of like an ice potato. You know green ice potato?
Yes, sir.
Well, it grows a bush about like that.
Yeah. I told, you know this prescription man down here at the drugstore?
I seen him a time or two. I used to pick up medicine for my mother there.
I told him what you told me about Mr. Garriga.
Yes.
And that boy got his pistol.
He sure right. I seen that old boy the other day with got Mr. Garriga's pistol. Well, he went back home, didn't he?
Yeah. That just surprised me.
It sure me too, because he had done made his stuff, yeah.
He had all made, didn't he?
He sure did. Had a nice home back here on the too.
Yeah. Well, now, when did he begin picking up a little money? Because when he come here, all he had was that old Model A Ford.
That's all. I tell you where he started picking up. Fort McCoy to that tipping time still.
Yeah.
He run to that commissary over there.
Yeah.
He had a chance to get him a whole lot of money out of them fellas, you know, charge him a little more than the stuff was, and The lead on until Peter, and he take all that money out, and he get his part of it, and the other man get his for the commissary.
Yeah.
And after a while, he bought him a little grove. I used to pick on your friend.
Oh, and he had a grove on his back over there.
Yeah, he had a grove. He'd buy all them old oranges, and he'd pay me 35 cents a box to pick them.
Yeah.
And he'd haul them to the juice plant. That's what he'd do. That's where he made money, long in there. The oranges was worth a heap, long in there.
Yeah.
So he bought another little grove up there, right off from Silver Spring Fruit Company Packing House back west from there.
Yeah.
And that whole grove died out. I don't know how in the world the freeze killed it. They're picking from 2,000 to 3,000 bucks on his office every year. That cold, come one cold winter and kill all them trees. I ain't seen that in there nowhere. Not living.
There's nothing to do for them.
No.
They just killed them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, after he moved over here, he had these groves. And I used to see him coming in, him and his wife and that truckload of dogs.
Yeah, he said them was his children. That's all he tickled me. They didn't mind bidding children. Them dogs. And he'd go up in that grove, you know, she'd do more work than he do. Climb up a ladder just like it wasn't he do and cut them limbs, and she's awake. She was awake, my goodness.
You see them die.
Yeah, so I wake right there in the grove with them, and they'll wake me to death. Drag limbs to the fire parlor and throw them on, she did, and everything, man. She didn't mind work.
Oh, you had a place to burn them?
Yeah, I had a big opening in the grove, and over here trees had died out. Make a big parlay and burn it. Didn't put too much on it at the time, you know. Burn them up right there.
That's right. You wouldn't want too much at one time.
That's right.
Yeah, I told Wilson, isn't that his name? Fred.
Yes,
out
I
there.
Yes.
I told him about that, and he used to talk to Mr. Garrison.
Yes.
That's after he moved over here.
Sure, right.
And he thought that was one of the funniest things he ever heard.
You're right.
I don't
know. How Mr. Hoof with him? Is he getting any better?
I don't keep up with him. I don't have any connection, contact. What'd you hear?
He had an operation on his throat.
Yeah.
They had a touch of cancer.
Yeah.
And he had an operation on his throat. I don't know how he got old, how he got long. The lady was telling me to smack into his body. I didn't even know he was in the hospital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'd miss him, wouldn't they, if he got out of commission?
You ain't joking. That man put out some money in the fruit season. He sure do in the summer, too. But in the fruit season, it's some money. He's put out some money then for picking them oranges and things.
Well, he got the chief payroll.
Yes, sir.
Down there.
Sure right. Sure have now.
More people would, they'd feel it if he was to get out of commission.
You ain't joking. Ain't no joke. You ain't the same, so neither.
Now, they quit that vegetables.
They sure did. They don't run that place no more at all. That used to be a business place down there, too.
Yeah. Mr. Oh, he's calling name wrong, John. Our friend over there at Fitcher.
To Wembley?
Yes, Wembley.
Yeah.
Now, did he ever work for Mr. Hupp?
That's where he worked. In the oranges. Mm-hmm. He packed oranges. When the time for them to pack them oranges, when they shipping oranges off, you know, fresh fruit, he packs oranges then. He sure do. Then it goes from there to Mr. Dead Lewis in the plant season to pull plants. And he used to make them pack them plants. Have the people to pack them right and things. And he staff them and marks out how much, how many it is. You know. Mr. Dead Lewis.
Yeah. Now he down there out of my neighborhood. I don't know him.
Who, Mr. Dead? He right there the lower.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, I never even run into him.
A lot of kids.
Did you ever work with him?
Yes. I worked with Mr. Rao, too. You know him?
No.
Jim Rao.
Yeah.
He used to plant nothing but peanuts. That's what you. That the first man had us picking peanuts for him there. After the little man was named Edward DeVoe. Remember him?
Yeah.
He planted peanuts side the old 301 highway. And he picked 200 bushels to the acre. Them old Balanchine peanuts.
Yeah.
He made some money that year. And they said, they ain't never seen, everybody said, I ain't never seen no peanuts like that. But you know what he done? He broke that land twice. He went back there and he leveled it off and he planted it. Then he drugged that land, drug all that. You couldn't tell a rose in there nowhere. And when it come up in rows. And then he went in back in there with some kind of, with that tractor with all them fertilizers. And I believe he put fertilizer in them peanuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then after a while he went back and put something in that looked like lime. That's what he done to them peanuts, and he made peanuts. About 200 bushels to the acre, what he gives out of it.
That's way ahead of what you generally get.
Yeah, sir, you do good if you pick 100 bushels to the acre. Mm. He doubled it up. Yes, sir. And the land where he planted them on, you know what I could have bought the land for? About back here on the years ago. I could have bought the land for 35 cents an acre.
But you didn't have 35 cents.
Couldn't buy a bread.
35 cents an acre.
That's all they wanted for that land. He never raised all them peanuts, 35 cents an acre.
But he didn't have 35
land
cents,
wouldn't,
for you.
Land wasn't nothing then. You could get land, they'll give it to you. You won't get nothing now.
No.
Just a little lot costs you a whole lot of money now.
Oh, it's gone out of reach.
Out of reach.
You know, all these horse farms hadn't helped things.
You ain't joking. They'll put it on now.
How you figure they got so many horse farms down there?
What good they is? What they do with them? Race with them or something?
I never see them do anything, I guess.
I just see horses out in the pasture.
Yeah.
Never seen nobody holler ride one of them.
No.
I don't know what they do with them.
And I don't see many in a pasture.
You sure don't no more.
So, they got to keep the pasture down by mowing it.
It sure is.
Why don't they put some cows in there?
This is horse bring more money and all kind of thing. I don't know what.
Well, I know, but a cow would graze it for him.
That's right. What that horse was named that got killed by the lightning?
I forget. What was it?
That was a horse, though. That horse had brought him many $1,000, ain't it?
Yeah.
I forget that horse name, but that was a horse.
And your pigs.
Every one of them died but two.
Oh, John.
Tell me.
I don't know what happened to them. Every one of them died but two. But a white fellow come in the other day and told me, he said, if they ever raise any more pigs, like get some more pigs like that. When they get about 4 weeks old, 3 weeks to 4 weeks old, take them from their mother and put them in a little pen and warm them and then feed them. And don't let them go and suck their mom. He told me that.
Oh, really?
So that taught me a lesson right there, too.
You know, I saw a fella. He was trying to get in the cattle business, and he went around all these dairies and places and picked up baby calves.
Yeah, that's right.
And he didn't do a thing to them. And they got blackleg, and you know that's catching.
Yeah.
And about three-fourths of them was gone before he had even gone to the vet to see what's wrong with them and get something to shoot.
That's right.
And see, now... Wouldn't anybody take a calf off a cow without giving that blackleg?
Sure, right. Treatment? Yes, sir.
You just wouldn't do it.
There's a colored boy over there home used to go get him, and he had one here not so long ago and went and give him away. A black, little black English bull.
Yeah.
He went there and they let him have all them little bulls, you know. And he took that bull and sold him. I think he got $35 for him, and he paid about $6 for him to the dairy. I mean, he wasn't but about 3 days old.
Paid how much?
$5.
Well, I didn't know they let him go for that anymore.
They sure let him hit him for that. Of course, he was working for the man. I think that's why they let him hit him like that.
I tell you what, I bought some from the dairy one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the biggest show you ever saw. That was the biggest mistake. I didn't get them from me. I got them from the fellow I was living with.
Oh, yeah.
And I was coming into town, so I picked them up.
Sure.
And they kept those calves a couple of months and just babied them and everything, and they just simply looked like they couldn't get to growing.
Yeah, I understand you.
And mm-hmm. You know what happened.
Yeah. Going back and see it coming up.
When the calf was dropped, you see,
yes.
They never let him to the calf to the cow.
That's right. You're right, buddy.
So he didn't have any of that
that's
stuff
right.
They need. You
that's
see.
Right.
And now I understand it's against the law.
Yeah.
I think unless they want to kill a calf, if mm-hmm. they're going to move the calf, they got to let him be with a cow a day or two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now that's my understanding. You haven't heard them talking about that?
Not yet. I hadn't heard it yet. But I reckon I'd have got it directly.
Well, what's your friend doing over there at Citra?
Mr. Wimley. He got his okra patch up here on his lake. He done planted him a garden up there. Just you go down that big hill.
Yeah.
You turn off right to the corner of that fence over on the right, just before you get to the bottom of that hill good.
Yeah.
And go back in there. He got a garden back in there. He got 1 acre of okra. He picked 7 or 8 crates off it.
Yeah.
And he got about 2 acres of greens planted back there, cabbage and all. And he got some peas like that then. This is pretty with blooms. If he get a chance and he pick them, he'll get some peas out of there.
Yeah.
He got acre peas, black eyed peas, and another kind they call a cream something, cream 40.
Well, let me tell you, has he got a little irrigation?
No.
Well, these people over here I was telling you about, they got him a little irrigation the other day.
Yeah.
And they paid $155 for it.
Yeah.
That's the motor. And the sprinkler.
Really clear.
And they say they're going to have a garden 12 months a year.
Yeah, sure.
I've been around there when they had stuff planted and it'd dry up on them, you know. Even
yeah.
peas.
That's right.
Peas got to have something.
But you know what he's doing, Mr. Wimler? He's still damp out there where he's from. And he don't never water. He don't worry about the rain or the water. And he raises a crop. Yes, sir. He sure do.
Yeah.
Bought him old tractor. When them old tractors didn't have all that stuff behind it, you know, the lift up plow and things. He made that and put on that tractor, and it was way better than one which come from the factory.
He made it.
And he made all that stuff to go behind that.
You mean he can do the same thing?
Oh, man. He made a, you know, a walking tractor. He made one of them and plowed his stuff for years with that. Made a walking tractor.
Yeah.
He sure did. He's tough.
You ought to get in with him.
Yes, sir. He sit down and study a way to make it.
Well, I didn't have an idea that he'd be able to do that.
He sure is. He know how to do it. You know, Joe. And he put a little motor up on there, a little one spark plug motor, and that's what pull it.
Yeah. Oh, is that all?
That's all.
Well, there you are. It didn't cost him anything.
No. Just got him a little... Yeah, ain't nothing but a lawnmower motor. A lawnmower motor.
Yeah.
Set it up on there and fix a little frame. We'll set up in there. And got him a chain running to the wheel and to that. And got a little thing he pull it and make that wheel fit tight. Run that pulley.
Yeah.
And on he go. And he can run as slow as he want or fast as he want. That's how you got your buddy.
Where's that big old vegetable shed? That's at Island Grove.
Mm-mm. Oh, you talking about the celery shed?
Yeah.
Yeah, the celery shed, it's at Island Grove.
They don't use that.
No, they use that other old packing house. It used to be Maxi Fruit Company packing house.
Yeah.
They use that.
No. So that old celery shed just going to waste.
Just there, that's right.
Man alive, that would hold a lot of stuff, wouldn't it?
It sure would.
How come them to dismantle it so bad?
That's what I don't know. I don't know why they do that. That was a good place where it was there, instead of going over to that old packing house.
Yeah.
You know, the man bought that old packing house, and he couldn't get nobody to never take down and haul his beer from there. Mr. McLeod.
Yeah.
He bought that. They tore down about a third of it, or two thirds, and hauled that over there and add rooms onto his packing house. And the other was left open there, and just a little office up under there. You looked at it, I guess.
Oh, is that what happened?
He bought it, but he didn't never get nobody to finish tearing it down. So
yeah.
Some people moved over there, they must have bought it for him.
Yeah. Well, now, where did he live, John? He didn't live over there.
Mr. McLeod? He lived in Ocala.
Yeah, he lived in Ocala.
You know Mr. Johnny McGee?
I've heard of him.
That's his boss, man, his riding boss around.
Yeah. Old, who were we talking about the other day? Old man Crosby?
Yeah, old man Crosby. He used to make up them little speeches for me. That man was a mess. He loved to make up them speeches.
Speeches?
And get up.
I was riding along. You know, I'd go along with him to open the gates. Had a horse and buggy then. And then the horse and buggy was stalled then. I'd be riding along on the back of the buggy to jump off to open the gate for him, you know. He said, why you getting to the gate, I'm going to say a little speech for you. Jose Turner is a biscuit burner. That's my name, you know. Jose Turner is a biscuit burner. Then another had another boy down there waking was named Daddy Shaw. Got near about him. He said, Daddy Shaw got corn in his craw. He's a mess. Yeah.
He's making up?
Yeah, he's making up them little speeches all along the road.
Well, let me show you. I got a little speech right here I'd like for you to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't have a night, I have a morning. And they get the cream off. And the Cork Stock Exchange, the Dow Jump from Chicago's Corral. I'll tell you, I like molasses. Good old country sorghum. Thereby hangs a tune. A Gold Rush Junction of the Smokies, Jim Ball sings a song of sorghum for the tourists. It is the anthem of the season. For all through these mountains, they're cutting the sorghum cane for a sweet purpose. Down on Webb's Creek in Pittman Center, Tennessee, we found Bud Allen's mule pacing round and round the ancient cane mill, Joseph Ramsey feeding the grinder, and the sweet juice of autumn rapidly filling a wash tub. I like this, good old country song for the night, and every morning and night. And they get to clean my toes, and down and up my nose, that's the way I like it best of all.
And there, standing in the steam of the evaporator, there with half the community, including his own wife, offering advice, there we met the master sorghum maker of this hollow, Juan Olympe.
Yeah, they've got sulfur and iron in them. They're good for you if you can eat them without them bothering your stomach.
Well, now you just don't eat them plain.
No, I wouldn't recommend that at all.
How do you do it?
Well, the best way to do it is to get you some good white puffy butter.
Good cow butter.
White puffy cow butter. And mix your molasses with the butter and stir it all up good in your plate. And you've got a really good...
Eat them with hot biscuits.
And eat them with hot biscuits. You see those fine bubbles in there now?
Yeah.
As long as the fine bubbles are in there, there's still water. There's too much water in them. They get cheap.
So you got to get rid of those bubbles.
You got to get rid of those bubbles.
And this is the finished product.
That's the finished product.
Well, that's thick.
Mr. Wayne, kill the fire to get these off.
And so the thing is done. Molasses is a plural noun, as you may have noticed, and everybody who loves them sorghums observes now as they are strained into a can to cool, and the next batch is started through the steam.
Now that's my country up there.
Yeah, my granddaddy used to raise that sorghum can, and we had to strip it down and cage it a meal and grind it. My granddaddy used to read that, yeah.
Sorghum?
Sorghum, that's where he'd get his first syrup in the year. Forever. Then they had Japanese cane, he'd grind next. Then sugar cane.
Sorghum?
Yes, sir.
Where was that?
Over the citrus. My granddaddy used to read it. And used to read rice, too. Right over there the citrus. My granddaddy used to read it.
Well, I never heard of sorghum down here.
Yes, sir. My granddaddy used to read it. And grind it to them to his cane mill. He had old cane mill. He sure did. Yeah. Yes, sir. That was long before who was dying.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Before who was dying. Way before then. My granddaddy used to read that sorghum planting the rows just like it do corn.
Yeah.
And we'd have a time stripping and cutting that stuff, canning it to the, hauling it to the mill and grinding. That's the first syrup you'd make out of that sorghum. Then from that to the Japanese and from that to a little sugar cane you had. Had all kind of syrup.
Yeah.
Then he'd take and make that brown sugar. You seen the brown sugar, ain't you?
Yeah.
He'd make that to me.
That's hard to beat.
Sure right. He was really headed.
They can use that.
And then had a smokehouse out there. We'd get old dead hickory wood, make a little smoke in that smokehouse. Had the hams hanging up in there. You could smell them all over the place. Hams, sausages, and all of that. Man, there's a smokehouse big as this room here. This pack just hanging all around in there. I mean, it's a kick, the more pyramidal looking thing than put through the legs of it, you know, jug it through there and tie it up. Yeah, I used to live on me then. Yes, yeah, sir.
He lived better than we do, didn't he?
He sure did. He had a plenty. He'd catch a mudfish and he'd take and cut that knife right down his side and cut all that black skin off the side of him and leave it white and pretty.
Yeah.
Then he'd cut him open and put salt in it and lay it up on top of the. He had a house, he'd lay them on top and let it lay in the sun. Dry just like a salt mullet.
Yeah.
Just like a old crowed mullet.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, just like that. And he's good, too.
That's a mudfish.
That's a mudfish.
Gee whiz. Gee whiz.
My uncle said, man, the Fort Myers used to give him everyone a catch. And, so one day he finally called a man and told the man, said, come on in and give the fellow, the white fellow, he give him some dinner. And he was eating that. He said, what was that I eat? He said, it was mighty good. He said, you know the mudfish you gave me the other day? He said, yeah. He said, that ain't none of them. He said, yeah, that's some of them. But he took and boiled that mudfish, then took all the bones out of it.
Oh.
Then he took hamburger and pork, you know, beef burger, and then pork, and mixed it together with that mudfish. And put onions and all kind of spices in it. Nothing beat it. And so the man gave him another mudfish. When he told him how he fixed it.
You've been fixing them yourself.
That's right. You better go on. I ain't gonna get a chance to do much more out there this evening. You know, it's getting on around there.
I'll tell you, we'll go get the other thing going.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. You need anything? Yeah, nothing. Got plenty of gas and all?
Might want to put a little gas in it.
This is Channel Run Over, or around 700, and the end of visit with John Turner at lunch with Rick, say, this Saturday, the 14th of October, 72. Channel Run Over, around 700, and the end of the visit with John Turner with Rick, this Saturday, the 14th of October, 72.